This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are on the active shooter drill conducted on campus over break and the annual Bassett Medical Ethics Lectures. We'll also listen to this week's edition of the Business Beat and get a sports update. In response to the attacks on college campuses across the nation, the King's College Campus Security and Safety Department led an active shooter training exercise with new Executive Director of Security Jim Gilgallon. News Director Katie Pugh covered the drill over the winter break.
In the wake of the Ohio State University attack in November, campuses across the nation have been reevaluating their security protocols for mass attacks and tightening potential security gaps. As the new executive director to replace former Wilkes-Barre City Police Chief Jerry DeSoy's position, Jim Gilgallon led a one-hour training exercise over winter break with campus security and the Wilkes-Barre City Police. The exercise drilled some of the procedures used in an active shooter scenario, such as locking all electronic doors and sending out emergency alerts. Mr. Gilgallon discussed the outcome of the training.
We did this today in conjunction with the Wilkes-Barre City Police Department, formulate a plan of action in the event that there was a crisis on campus. And I felt it went very well. We've come up with some ideas. There's great communication between the two entities.
Investigator Nick Gushka discussed what actions students should take should a tragedy like this arise, and the importance of the E2 campus alert system.
Signed up for the E2 campus alert system, and by doing that, they will receive a text message on their phone, and they will receive an email to their King's College account notifying them of what the crisis is, and if we're going to use active shooter, it's active shooter. They should also get familiar with the active shooter policy that is available to them on the King's website. Obviously, it is to take cover and to help others. Your safe haven may not necessarily be on campus. So if you're traveling in your car and say you're a block away and you get a message, don't come to campus. Your best place is to stay away from campus. If you're on campus, help others. Follow the instructions that you hear over the PA system. Follow the instructions that are going to come up periodically on your text messages and what have you. And just go, a lot of common sense comes into play.
Mr. Gushka strongly encourages students to enroll in the E2 system. If you received an email or text alert about the drill on Friday, January 13th, you are enrolled already. Otherwise, Mr. Gushka laid out what you can do to sign up for this potentially life-saving information.
You can review the policy and procedures that are in place on how to sign up. If you have any questions at all and you feel that you may not have done it correctly, you can go to the IT department, or you can come to the campus safety and security office, and we will assist you in making sure that you are signed up for the E2 campus alert.
The active shooter policy can be found by searching active shooter on the King's website, which provides safety tips and guidelines for students and employees. You can also search emergency response guide to find more resources for other emergencies that may arise. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
St. Andre Bassett was a Holy Cross brother from Canada that was known to be a healer. Every year, a medical ethics lecture is conducted in St. Bassett's name. Station manager Jessica Mulligan attended this year's lecture on pandemics.
An unlikely combination has come about in the last decade in regards to presentation of new healthcare discoveries. That is, the presentation of these ideas have been brought to the theater. The staged reading of a research-based play, Abide With Me, A Story of Two Pandemics, was presented in the Maffei Theater recently on campus. It was an innovative way to present the process of ethical deliberation and engage those who may have an impact on its future. It was born out of the Canadian Program of Research Ethics in a Pandemic, a study that explored both social and ethical issues involved in pandemic planning and response. The playwright, Kate Rossiter, an associate professor at Wilfrid Laurier University, shared the two narratives she featured in her play.
So the two narratives, the play takes place between two time periods. The first is sort of a version of the present, near present, in which a pandemic is on its way to the town in which the drama takes place, or that they know that there's a pandemic on the move. And it's the story of an old woman in the hospital who is recalling her time as a child while she's in a hospital that's preparing for a flu pandemic. So that's the first. The second is her memories, and it takes place in 1918 during the Spanish influenza pandemic, and it's about this old woman's family when she was a child, so her mother and her aunt, who was a nurse.
Rossiter gave more details about the genre of the play.
You know, certainly the 1918 pieces are historical fiction. They're taken, the characters are real people who we found in our archival work, and the, you know, the newspaper, bits from the newspaper are real. So I would say this, that half is historical fiction, but the whole thing, the genre is research-based theater. So the whole piece comes from a larger research project, and so I think the genre is probably best suited, that the genre to describe is research-based theater.
Research-based theater is still relatively new.
Research-based theater has sort of, you know, become a thing in the last 15, 20 years, and it's really looking to use theater as a way of engaging research findings and making those research findings more accessible to a wider and a different set of audiences beyond just academics. So it's a way of kind of reaching out beyond, and it's I know of it best within health research because I'm a health researcher, so that's how I know of it, and it's been used in different ways in health research.
She did not go about the project on her own, however, and actually had a supportive team along the way.
I worked in a larger team, and I worked with colleagues, so the larger team was comprised of social scientists and doctors and ethicists, and they all were, you know, working on this larger research project about ethics and pandemic. And so I had great colleagues who were there to bounce ideas off of. And then I worked with a close colleague who's a historian and social scientist who helped with them, who really took a hold of the historical research. So she did that. So I had really great colleagues, but the writing is mine.
Rossiter explains why she chose pandemics to discuss in her play.
Well, so I was involved. I mean, my background is two things. My background's in theater and also in public health. And so I was part of a much larger research project called the Canadian Program of Research on Ethics in a Pandemic, CanPrEP. And I was the playwright in residence for that project. So this didn't come out of nowhere. I was part of that research project. I was part of the research process. And my job was to write a play from the research findings. So I had basically been hired on to do this as a job. But I've always been really, really interested in mass illness and in public health in general. That's how I ended up in that area, in part. But I've also always been interested in writing and theater craft. So those two kind of came together in this project in a really nice way.
Dr. Bernard Prusak, Associate Professor of Philosophy and Director of the McGowan Center for Ethics and Social Responsibility, explained the importance of teaching ethics to students.
Developing students' familiarity with ethical problems, developing students' facility in arguing about ethics are both, I think, central to any liberal arts education. So it takes training to recognize an ethical problem. You don't simply stumble into ethical problems the way I might stumble into this desk. You're with me? Some ethicists compare the study of ethics to the study of music or art. So if you know art or if you know music really well, you'll hear things in a musical composition people who don't know music won't. You'll see things in a painting people who don't know art won't. Part of studying ethics is developing your sensibility so that you can recognize ethical problems, then so you can formulate ethical problems, then so you have some means to address those problems, and finally, the courage to act.
For WRKC News at 5, I am station manager Jessica Mulligan. If you own...
Coming up next, we'll hear about the historical 20,000-point high of the Dow Jones Industrial Average on the business beat and get a basketball recap on today's sports update.
Sure, it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRKC, Radio King's College, winner of two national awards in 2015 from the Intercollegiate Broadcasting System. We are Northeastern Pennsylvania's most honored college radio station.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
This is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. Today, the Dow Jones Industrial Index hit an all-time high by breaking the 20,000-point barrier. U.S. share prices have been boosted by hopes that the economic policies of President Donald Trump will boost the nation's economy. The other main indexes, S&P 500 and NASDAQ, also saw increases today. Core CPI hit the Fed's 2% target. Federal Reserve officials in last week's meeting indicated that they are comfortable with current inflation trends. That view was supported by the December CPI, in which both headline and core inflation rose above 2% over the year for the first time since mid-2014. Most economic data releases help bolster the case for the Fed to tighten policy. Housing starts, industrial production, and the Philadelphia Fed's Business Outlook Index all topped expectations, while jobless claims fell to a near-record low again this week. The Global Review. Real GDP growth in China remained stable. Real GDP in China grew 6.8% on a year-ago basis in the fourth quarter, essentially unchanged from the 6.7% clip that was registered during quarter three in 2016. Other data released this week show why the Chinese economy will likely never again achieve double-digit growth rates on a sustained basis. The sharp slowdown in investment spending that has occurred this decade is the underlying cause for the deceleration in the Chinese economy. The question on economists' minds now, is inflation trending higher in the United Kingdom? The unemployment rate in the United Kingdom remained at an 11-year low of 4.8% in November, while wages appear to have accelerated. It appears that the underlying rate of CPI inflation is starting to creep higher. Retail spending, however, was decidedly weak in December. In other news from the United Kingdom, the government lost a key Supreme Court battle regarding Brexit and employing Article 50, which would initiate the brutal divorce between the United Kingdom and the European Union. The court dismissed the government's argument that it has the power to begin official Brexit negotiations without the Parliament's prior agreement. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. On Monday night, the men's basketball team played Muhlenberg College in a non-conference matchup in the Scandalon Gymnasium. The Monarchs finished the first half trailing by 3 points. When second half action opened up, the Monarchs saw their deficit climb to 8 points. The Monarchs were down by 1 point with possession of the ball for the final shot of the game. Senior captain Dan Ritecki shot a jumper that rattled off the rim and out as time expired. The Monarchs lost 61-60, making this their 11th straight loss and their second 1-point loss in a row. Dan Ritecki finished the game with 18 points and 7 rebounds, while freshman Tyler Millian chipped in with 12 points, with 6 of those points being from 3. Tonight, the Monarchs resume Freedom Conference play at DeSales University in hopes of snapping their 11-game skid at 8 o'clock tonight. The Lady Monarchs travel to DeSales University tonight in Freedom Conference play at 6 p.m. The last time the Lady Monarchs traveled to Center Valley, Pennsylvania, and came out victorious was in 2012 in the Freedom Conference semifinal when they won 80-70. The Lady Monarchs are coming off their best game of the season against Wilkes and look to continue their success tonight. Olivia Hoffman has 69 blocks on the season. She currently has second place in Division 3 for her 69 blocks and is 13th among active players in all divisions for block shots with 232. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 41. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high of 46, and Friday will also be cloudy with a high of 39. There will be a blood drive on the third floor of the campus center tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. There is an emergency need for all types of blood. There will be a Campion Society writing workshop in the Friedman Room of the campus center at noon on Friday. There will also be snow tubing this Saturday. The cost for admission is $10, and you can sign up at the campus at Campus Activities. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.